Today's Issues continues on AFR.
And indeed, we are back for this Tuesday edition of Today's Issues. Fred Jackson sitting in for Tim and Ed today. And joining us in studio here at home base Tupelo is Steve Jordahl right now.
Hey, everybody.
Sometimes known as Steve Paisley Jordahl.
That's what I'm known as.
That's a bit of a stretch today.
No, just wearing. I have my favorite tie on.
Favorite tie and yep. Valentine red shirt.
Yep.
Yeah. Must be something special going on.
No, red's my wife's favorite color. I like to pull it out every so often.
That's special.
Yeah.
Well, compared to that, Alex and I look pretty plain. Alex McFarland from North Carolina. Go ahead, Alex. Good to have you back again.
Well, it's great to be with you, Fred and Steve Jordahl. And Steve, I so appreciate your journalism and all the coverage of the news stories that you provide. And there's no shortage. I know you never wake up and say, gee, what is there to report on today?
Sometimes I wake up and I say, gee, I wish there wasn't anything to report on today. I can tell you that for sure.
We live in those times. I've been using the phrase for such a time as this, and God knew that a Christian news agency was going to be needed, Steve, at this time right now, because all the stories have a spiritual background to them, Alex. It's all part of Christian worldview and a value system that's either based on the Bible or based on man's wisdom, and that's the big conflict that's out there today.
You know, Fred, Chuck Colson, the late Chuck Colson, brilliant guy, very brilliant, and had so much discernment. He kind of was one of these people that could see around the corner, and he was a personal friend. I'm not name-dropping. He spoke for us in our conferences, but Chuck Colson would often say that nothing happens in a vacuum. You know, morals, behaviors, certainly policy, political policy doesn't happen in a vacuum. There's a worldview that really informs, you know, all the things around us. And certainly, Steve, with Israel, and just like the reaction to what people think, whether it be politicians or leaders or you know, pundits in the media, there's a worldview that informs people's positions on morals, international affairs, domestic policy. It's not a vacuum. Everything is driven by worldview, isn't it?
It is. It is. It's amazing. We don't even realize what is affected by worldview. The things that we take for granted that we don't even think about are affected by our worldview, which is why, Alex, I can just about, if you sit down with a liberal, you can just about guess his position on anything because
exactly.
It's the opposite of yours. It's all because of the worldview. It's just amazing. Yeah. Even like dogs and cats.
Yeah. And Steve, while the newscast was on, you said today is a rough day for Israel. A lot of missiles being fired from Gaza right now.
As we speak, Israel is getting hammered. It looks like hundreds of rockets coming over. They're going north into Tel Aviv, past Tel Aviv. It's the whole countryside. If you look at the map, they plot these things as red. And so I don't know. The rockets were in Tel Aviv. Hamas has been claiming responsibility. Of course, they're all coming from the West Bank. I don't know, and it might be too soon to tell, if any of them were from Hezbollah up from the north, but it's a rough day right now.
There's been attacks. See, Alex, what a lot of people don't know, the Hamas terrorists have become more sophisticated in their weaponry in recent years. And a lot of it we know comes from Iran. They are getting supplied from there. But it also points to the fact that even though Israel has been shelling northern Gaza extensively now since October the 7th, there are still Hamas terrorists with the capability in northern Gaza to carry out these attacks. So Israel is still on high alert.
Mm. Well, you know, a lot of people don't realize Gaza, even though it's, you know, geographically a very small piece of land, Gaza has been described as an open-air prison, and yet they have a GDP of $28 billion a year. And so often when aid from the West, and frankly aid from America, goes to Palestinians, the funds and the resources get used for terrorists, and by terrorism, you know, the vast majority, anti-Israel, destroy Israel at any cost purposes. And, you know, about, I'm just saying, 7 years ago, there were several billion dollars sent from the West for a water desalination plant to give potable water, drinkable water to the Palestinians, and that never got built. You know, it was used for violence against Israel and terrorist purposes. And Fred, you and I were hearing in the previous segment about how Yasser Arafat, you know, 1984, when Israel was bullied into giving up land for peace, which never works, even after Israel conceded and gave up their own land to ostensibly purchase peace, it's, you know, basically, you know, extortion. But Yasser Arafat on record said, we want Israel driven into the sea.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, and we've got to understand that these Islamic leaders and terrorists, they do not recognize Israel's right to even exist.
As of this is a Twitter feed that I have from a fairly reliable news source in Israel. At least 12 explosions. This is 2 hours ago. At least 12 explosions reported over the city of Tel Aviv as the Iron Dome attempts to intercept a number of rockets launched from Gaza. This might be the largest rocket attack from Gaza since the beginning, first few days of the war.
Wow.
And I am reading also that they are claiming that some Lebanese sources are claiming that mortars have struck a number of Israeli outposts from there, and Israel is fighting back. Defense Force has announced the destruction of two rocket and mortar launches in southern Lebanon as a result of the Iron Dome.
Two fronts at least right now, and Israel arrested almost three dozen Hamas terrorists in the West Bank during the weekend. So it is a multi-front war right now, and no signs that it's about to diminish.
Guys, you know, I got to say, whenever I hear the term Iron Dome, I have to smile fondly and remember the first president that I was ever old enough to vote for, Ronald Reagan.
Star Wars.
Do you remember SDI?
Yeah. Strategic Defense Initiative.
That technology was developed jointly between the U.S. and Israel, and it's basically surface-to-air missile interception with incredible computer-guided accuracy. But that Iron Dome, quote-unquote, is saving lives. And I remember the Democrats mocked Ronald Reagan at the time.
Oh, mercilessly.
When he envisioned the creation of it.
Yes.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the UN, let's go there, because Israel's ambassador to the United Nations is calling for the resignation of Secretary General Antonio Guterres because of a shocking speech that he gave, in which he says the attacks by Hamas did not happen in a vacuum. The UN Secretary General is basically blaming Israel for this.
Of course.
And our Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, is in New York at the Security Council, and he sat down and he had a word for the Security Council, Cut 13.
We all recognize the right and indeed the imperative of states to defend themselves against terrorism. That's why we must unequivocally condemn Hamas's barbaric terrorist attack against Israel. We have to ask. Indeed, it must be asked. Where is the outrage? Where is the revulsion? Where is the rejection? Where is the explicit condemnation of these horrors? We must affirm the right of any nation to defend itself and to prevent such horror from repeating itself. No member of this council, no nation in this entire body could or would tolerate the slaughter of its people.
I edited out several horribles that he listed that we've all heard, and I don't need to air again. But
you know, Antony Blinken, I haven't always agreed with his positions as Secretary of State, but Alex, He has been strong from the get-go since October the 7th. He was the first U.S. official on the ground in Israel. He is Jewish. And as I recollect in his initial address in the opening news conference with Prime Minister Netanyahu, he recounted his past. His heritage includes Holocaust victims. So he is, in his spirit, I believe, attached to the people and the land of Israel. So it is good to know that there is at least one person in that Biden administration that it goes beyond political talk, Alex, that I believe Anthony Blinken has an attachment there in his soul.
Indeed. Well, that's clear, and he's courageous. And this is a time not for political expediency or self-preservation, but this is a time for people by conviction to be on record as supporting Israel. And I'm glad he is, and I pray others will as well.
Indeed. Can we move on from Israel?
Yes, sir.
All right. Oregon, the state of Oregon, has decided that high schoolers will not need to demonstrate basic competency in reading, writing, or math in order to graduate. For at least 5 years, more years, they're going to have no standards because, well, standards are racist.
Ah.
Alex,
Steve, I've heard the line, and this it sounds so insane. Some people say 2 + 2 doesn't necessarily equal 4, and anybody who says it is might be racist.
Oh, listen, I've had professors argue that point with me at universities that, who's to say 2 + 2 could be 3 or 5? But, Steve, Oregon reminds me, the days of good grammar has went.
Yes, indeed. Gone.
This is so sad. Rather than inspire and tutor and encourage people that are remedial, you know, rather than bring them up, we're going to bring everybody down. Basically, you can graduate high school in Oregon now without knowing anything.
Yeah.
Yes.
Said someone, former Oregon gubernatorial candidate Christine Drazen, at some point, our diploma is going to end up looking a lot more like a participation trophy than an actual certificate.
Well, and you know, we laugh at that, but that's the reality. Even on the sports field, Alex, it's the old saying, everybody gets a trophy.
Yeah.
So the philosophy is, you know, having winning and losing sides, oh, that's detrimental to somebody's psychological health. This craziness started not just yesterday. It's been going on for 20, 25 years.
Well, you know, we could do a whole show on the need for either, you know, homeschooling or private schooling, Christian education.
Mm.
But let me say, this is one of the inversions of liberalism. Liberalism ostensibly says they're going to help people and, you know, affirm people, but they don't. Liberalism, whether it be participation trophies or, you know, Common Core, lowered educational standards, or abolishing the death penalty for convicted murderers, or pro-choice. Liberalism doesn't help the human condition. It harms. It doesn't elevate people. It dehumanizes people. Because, I mean, think about this, and guys, I'll throw it back to you. What they're saying to the minority students is, oh, you can't learn. You're not capable of being taught. Let us handhold you. And by the way, the liberal worldview, notice how always there's this implicit message by the Democrats, you can't make it without me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm your friend here. Let me lead you because you're incapable of standing on your own. It's a horrible, detrimental message.
Yeah. And guys, Steve, get your comments on this. If you can't do those basic things, there are still jobs.
Well,
where 2 + 2 has to equal 4.
I hope none of these students are going to be building any of the bridges I have to drive over.
Yeah.
For one.
Yeah. It's just, you know, I'm thinking back a few months ago. We had the story out of the Baltimore area. I think there were 13 schools who did not pass basic reading and writing skills in that area.
There were whole districts where not a single school.
Not a single school.
past any of those.
But you know what? I bet you these kids are being taught critical race theory. Yeah. I bet you they're being taught that you have to use
16, 19
preferred pronouns and all of those sorts of things.
They can't list 50 states, but they can list 50 pronouns.
Yes, that's about it. All right, Steve, go ahead.
All right. Hey, I understand, Fred, you were talking, we were talking before about the housing market is kind of getting, people are getting behind on the house payments.
No kidding. Yeah, Americans falling behind on auto loan payments.
Oh, auto loan payments.
Auto loan payments. It's the delinquency is now at, I think they said, about a 30-year high. So... You know, it goes to Alex, you know, the already the Biden re-election team has been out there. The president has been out and he's promoting his Bidenomics and what wonderful things are going on in our economy. But honest media is checking that out. And then stories like this come along. People are hurting out there. Groceries, they can't make their payments. Credit card debt is at all times high, something that you're not going to hear from the Biden folks.
Yeah, well, it's very unfortunate. And, you know, I'm getting concerned like back in 2007 during the Obama years, the all of those subprime mortgages and so many people were upside down in their homes. You remember all that? And a lot of dominoes fell. And that's why, let me say, you know, I just encourage people to, you know, have your financial house in order. And that starts with honoring the Lord with your substance. The best financial move anybody can make is to, if you're a Christian, be a tither and more. But here's the thing. This American economy with a $33 trillion debt and, you know, so many, many millions of people living beyond their means, you know, they say the American economy is resilient, but it can't be stretched forever.
Yeah, you mentioned living beyond their means. I was going to say it's easy to blame Biden because there's so much he's done that is backfiring on the American people. But a lot of people are buying cars they really can't afford.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Afford, get it?
Afford. Well, I remember I go back always to James Carville, former Clinton advisor. It's about the economy, he said in his very thick Louisiana accent. It's all about the economy. And that's where the, stick with the auto, the rubber meets the road with a lot of people.
Well done.
You know, they go to the grocery store. And we have chats about this in our newsroom, Steve, about, you know, you go to the grocery. In fact, there was a news story the other day. A guy had about 9 items in the shopping cart. And he said, this is what the 9 items cost me back a few years ago. And now it was almost double or triple today. The same 9 items, whatever they were in his grocery cart. And that's what we're seeing today.
Gentlemen, breaking news, if I may.
Yes.
Yes.
It looks like Tom Emmer has been elected by the Republican caucus to run as Speaker of the House.
Okay.
I'm seeing it on CNBC and on Fox.
All right. Well, that's interesting, Alex. We just had that great conversation with Jody Heiss from the Family Research Council. Now, I understand the 8 or 9 candidates.
There were 8 as of this morning.
8 as of this morning. I think one had dropped out overnight. The 8 have agreed that whoever came out on top of this vote, that the others, they had to put this in writing, the others would support that candidate. But as somebody pointed out, the rest of the Republican caucus didn't sign on to that. Mm-hmm. So this battle ain't over yet, Alex.
No, but, you know, like we also talked about, the left knows how to unify. Mm. You know, that's one of the things about conservatives. And this is where the left just so often, you know, eats our lunch, is they know how to come out and stand together. And the sooner they can get a person, the right person, the better.
Yeah.
But his website, emmer.house.gov, and you can look at a lot of his you know, policies and decisions there. So what do you guys think? I mean, Fred, do you think that you know, Tom Emmer will be the next speaker?
Well, I'm you know, as we talk to our guest from Family Research Council, Jody, and I'm thinking I'm thinking that the Republicans have realized that what has happened over the last 2 weeks has made them the laughingstock. And the mainstream media and Democrats have seen to that, that they can't get their political house in order. And people are saying, you can't get your own house in order. Why should we trust you with running the country? So I am hoping that any bad blood between the various factions of the House Republicans, they can put that behind them and get on with this, because it is so important that they go forward as a united team. One of the first things they have to do is vote on financial aid for Israel, and they've got to get that done. So I am hoping that they're coming out of this vote today with agreement, not only on a candidate, but they are going to support this candidate, and that we don't have another string of two or three or four votes and still come away at the end of this week, and we do not have someone voted on and conclude with an actual House Speaker that's going to be there and get things back in order once again. All right, Steve, what else you got?
Well, I'm trying to look at Tom Emmer's voting record when it comes to pro-life and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He scored a zero on the HRC, the pro-gay voting thing, so that's probably a good thing.
Well, right. HRC, is that Human Rights Campaign?
Human Rights Campaign, yeah. It's just,
he gets a zero from them?
Zero from them.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yes, it's a good thing.
That's a good thing, because they are the largest homosexual activist group in the country.
I want to ask you, Fred, I want to ask you what it is in the veins of pilots that when something happens, they can just, like, it's as if nothing happened. So there was a flight that was going from, where was it? From
Seattle, south.
Yeah,
somewhere.
Seattle to San Francisco.
Horizon Airlines.
Horizon Airlines. And in the middle of the flight, there was a Horizon employee who was sitting in the jump seat, which is a spare seat in the cockpit. They let pilots, as a favor, if they want to go home, they let them sit there and fly for free. This guy tried to turn the jet off in midair.
It's very scary.
Off.
Yes.
And, you know, so it would crash the plane. It would kill. He's been charged with 80-some counts of attempted murder. I want you to listen to the guy when he's calling into the tower.
So this is the pilot or co-pilot?
I believe this is the pilot. Yeah. And listen to him as he's telling the tower what's happening. Cut 9.
Give you a heads up. We've got the guy that tried to shut the engines down out of the cockpit. And he doesn't sound like he's causing any issue in the back right now. I think he's subdued. Other than that, we want law enforcement as soon as we get on the ground and park.
And I think I take a ham sandwich and,
yes.
It's like, what? How do they do that?
Well,
I've heard this before, too, with planes that are in distress and pilots that just seem to be able to.
Yeah, there's an old saying in the pilot world, you know, it's hours of boredom intermingled with moments of sheer panic.
Right.
Yeah.
So once the panic's done, you go back with the routine of the day. But that's a pretty cool customer there. Horizon is a subsidiary of Alaska Airlines.
Alaska Airlines, yeah.
And this was an Emperor, I think, 175, pretty sophisticated airplane. But what got into the mind of that guy in the jump seat, I don't know, Alex.
Sure,
do you remember of the Malaysian Flight 370?
Yeah.
The guy that intentionally?
Yes.
Hey, if you want to improve your prayer life, be a flyer on commercial flights, because you will do some praying.
We could do a whole other show on what's happening on airlines these days, I'll tell you. Anyway, I'm glad that particular incident turned out okay. All right, Steve Jordahl, thank you very much.
My
Alex
pleasure.
McFarland, as always, you're back on the air this afternoon, I bet.
Yes, that's right, on Exploring the World.
Exploring the World. Thank you so much, Brent Creeley, our producer, and Chris Woodward. And Tim will be back in the chair tomorrow, but stay tuned. Our news programs, our newscasts throughout the day will keep you informed. God bless you, everyone. Take care, and we'll see you again real soon.